got only 52 minutes to make questions and responses from the just now. Anyone want to make it? To ask a question?
What was for the
I wanted to thank you very much, Chair, but also just to thank the Deputy Chair for the service that she has provided so far since 2014 that we have been with her. And we are sure that wherever she's going to make an immense contribution as she did with our committee, I think. We wish you well, and God bless you. I want us the CGE to take what I'm going to say in a very positive way. I'm thinking about next year when they do their spread plan. They must take CGE to another level. I was thinking about the fourth revolution. I'm not sure about the third and second and first revolution that we did not participate on. But the world is talking about this fourth revolution. And how do we want to shape our country towards that? Because it's moving very fast. And when we do our monitoring tools in terms of departments and pushing that women must not be left behind in terms of that revolution. So let us sit down and outline how we want to take women forward. So when you do your strength plan, I want maybe to make an extension that you should invite us so that we can share ideas and sit with you and do all this together, because we are a team, not to be referees when we are supposed to be on the other side. And then on the tertiary institution, I also want you to make them systematic, just to save money. We can do all the tertiary institution in one province. I don't know how did you select the province, because now you're saying you're coming back to Cape Town to win a Stellenbosch, you're leaving the technologies out, you're going to the Free State, doing the Free State, and you're going to County. There are three provinces. If you can do them in terms of provinces, you save money, or you cluster provinces that are together, you know, the Limpopo and Gauteng, then you have covered many tertiary institutions there. Because the objective is one, to ensure that women are given the space to participate in those institutions. So, and then when you check your output, it's going to be like a collective output. I don't know, but that's my suggestion to you. And then I also like the issue that you are going to simplify the book that you're going to write, which is similar to the women's working manual, something that we need as women. The other issue is the, which you said we must also concentrate on, was the CSW report for next year on the rural women. What is it that you want us to concentrate on? And the Rural Development Department, what is it that we want them to not only the land issue, but what other issues in terms of rural development do we want to present to them? Because there are many issues that we can do with the rural development together, so that we can give a report that is very developmental in its approach in New York next year. But let us share ideas. What exactly that you want us to express with the department, and mentor and how will it lift women out of poverty? Because the primary aim is to take women out of poverty. I was given an example earlier on that the issue of illiteracy of women, it's never taken seriously, but it's one thing that we never even pin down department and say, this is the program we want you to do, which is going to take women out of illiteracy and poverty. So if we leave the departments to do things themselves and not give them programs that can help women to go out of the predicament that they're in, there is no way that we're going to see progress. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to go through these quickly and I'll keep my rhetoric to a minimum. In terms of your HR, about 75% of your budget is spent on COE. Does this mean that your vacancies are filled? And does this improve your reach? In terms of the APP, your targets need to be SMART. So if you can, in preparation for your next APP, ensure that every single target is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. So if the target isn't measurable, try and amend it. Ultimately, our responsibility is to monitor your performance, and the Department of Women have to do exactly the same thing. We can only do our job efficiently if we know precisely how to measure you. It would also be helpful to, for example, assign responsibility to the various outcomes. So if your target indicator is one thing, who do we hold to account for that particular outcome? Which commissioner? Which C? Is it the CEO, the CFO, etc.? And also in terms of the plenaries, it would be helpful to say Commissioner X is responsible on the or serves on this plenary and that plenary, so that we can hold the commissioners to account as well. I want to know whether you've done, speaking of rural women, dignity, poverty, and equality, has the CGE done any report on education? That is the foundation for lifting our women out of poverty and giving them some dignity. I won't go into the general rhetoric why, because I'm sure you know. I don't need to say it just to hear the sound of my own voice. But have you done that research and how education, rural, urban, affects the girl child and ultimately gender equality one day? Also, you mentioned that you were going to be focusing on the mining sector, evaluating how gender equality has improved there. But in terms of South Africa's economy, the bulk of that is made out of the services industry. So would it not be more important to try and assess the services industry so that we can focus on a larger industry and see how that's affecting, especially with mining and manufacturing actually decreasing in the country, and yeah, and maybe technology with this fourth revolution needs to be an industry that needs to be assessed, how women are feeding into it. In terms of your IT, have you got an electronic case management system? I see you can log a complaint online, but in terms of your budget, I hear your capital expenditure is stressed with an overspend that you're trying to prevent. With the remaining budget, are you going to meet the targets that you have for this last quarter? Last thing, Department of Women and the Presidency. Now, they've got a planned program of dialogues. Number one, are you aware? Number two, do you know what their program is? Have they shared that information with you? Three, have they invited you to join? Four, have they requested any information from you? Apparently their objective is to do social profiling. Now, Lentuka, that's your job. So, is this, you would obviously have that information. So have they requested anything from you, and maybe you've communicated with each other, interacted with each other to find the gaps to reduce expenditure that could perhaps of the Department of Women more be allocated to CGE? And yes, how do you work with the Department of Women? Is there regular communication? Are there structured meetings? Do they reach out to you? Do you reach out to them? Be straight. We've got our budget debate next week, Wednesday. Take us into your confidence. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair. And let me appreciate the presentation by the CEO and CFO, and also to echo what other honorable members have said in terms of appreciating the work that has been done by the deputy chairperson of the CGO, of the CGE. And you want to say that your contribution has been positive throughout the years, and surely what you have done it's valuable and it's worthy to be followed by surely the team going to be part of the CGE. So we want to thank you for the work that you have done in the previous years. And CGE is one of the institutions that have been positive in taking the advice from this proposal committee. So we want to appreciate the work that you have done and to go well. My first question is, how did you relate to the finances of the CGE? One, in the strategic objective number one. CFO, in terms of the evaluation, the implementation, and effectiveness of the national justice facilities in addressing gender discrimination, I can see the budget in the previous year. They have estimated 784,000, but this year, 2017-2018, the budget has increased to 3 million. So what is it that you're going to do differently? The other sub-strategy number two, which deals with engagement in stakeholders. Coordination of programs to promote equality, to develop a coordinated program to develop, to promote equality. The budget for the previous year was 1M, and this new financial year, 2017-2018, you budgeted 5 million. That's a huge increase. Just to explain what you're going to do it differently. Maybe I've missed the explanation on the on our international obligations, the international bodies and on state compliance. the budget for previous year was 3M, and this year it's going to rise to 10M. Can I get the full details for what informed that? Thank you. presented the, actually the table to the 30-year report. And I think if we have time, maybe we must invite them to come and present to the whole details of the 20-year review. We want to engage with, we want to go and read it so that we can be able to engage and so that we can be able to see the gaps, your successes, you know, so that we can be able to share with other stakeholders. So when we have time, teacher or chairperson, let's call them for just to engage in terms of their 20-year review report. And we also want to appreciate you. You know, this has been outstanding for some time, and you know, I had an interest in this because always we present that no, we were going to table it. I had interest in the previous year. So thank you very much for compiling it. Hope you have not used the consultant to compile this report, but you have. I remember. But we'll engage further with the contents of the report. The other issue concern about the rural women, the things of SW, and I heard you talking about the 1 woman, 1 hectare program. I think maybe this is one program that we have to, you know, push for this coming year with rural development and land reform. And the other issue, the gender barometer is fine. I was just telling Honorable Petty that, you know, some of the systems that you are having, I wish that somehow you can collaborate with the Department of Women. You know, because as you are speaking, they don't have the tools to start working. You know, the department is still there. Not yet, you know, build the foundation. You know, that's it now. So, you know, I was just saying, why can they collaborate with CGE so that they can be able to, you know, use the tools that are with. If maybe this year you are saying you are going to assess this institution, then you'll agree with one of them and say, no. This year, as hence we are taking the route to assess the higher institution of education of Stellenbosch, do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And at the end of the year, do meet and, you know, discuss issues, what are the gaps, you know, compare the report. And so, you know, I was just saying, what is it that is difficult? Because all of you are government, you know, structures, and if you're prepared to assist the women out there, you're prepared to assist, you know, this government to make sure that we promote gender equality. The agenda is one, actually, but you are working differently. The other issue in terms of the vacancies, that the vacancies in the CGP, I know you've got a vacancy of the legal officer in Mpumalanga. Something like that. And so, you know, oversight, you are using the legal advisor of Limpopo. Yeah, Limpopo legal advisor. In terms of your gender focal points, are you collaborating with the public service and administration? Because this is an outcry to all the departments, all the provinces that are living a problem in terms of the agenda focal points. On matters of gender-based violence, CEO, I haven't heard you speaking about it. Are you collaborating with the Department of Social Development and Women? Because they do have some dialogues that are, you know, that are conducting throughout the country. So are you collaborating with them in terms of issues facing the GPV? I think it will be good for us, Chairperson, to get the latest employment equity report. Mm-hmm. I said last week they were interviewing a commissioner, or they're calling a commissioner who's responsible to offer that. But since as if we're not getting it right. There's something is wrong in this country. I think, you know, though we're talking about our radical economic transformation this side, but it seems as if one or the other is still missing the point. But I think for us to be guided, you know, I understand the background, where we come from as the country, but going forward, how do we then address the radicalism of the Honorable Patricia? Because if we then sit down and maybe sit some of us, starting from the kids, because we must start there, and we should not blame private sector, as if we are doing, as government, we are doing the right things. So I think going forward, we must be able to be radical as members of parliament too, in terms of gender equality.
On what the member is saying about the CGE and his performance the previous year. I wasn't there, but I really appreciate what they actually said in terms of acknowledging questions will revolve around three, I think, or more. The gender barometer, the presence of the CGE in provinces, the transgender policy, and the stakeholder engagement. On the gender barometer, that to me that is a very important tool to utilize, and how I wish we could know the assessment results of the previous. I mean, compared this expected. That's for 2017-2018 in addition to the previous financial year. As far as presence in the offices, provinces is concerned, and that I just wanted to check if the staffing in those offices is adequate enough to do or to produce the desired results by the CGE, so that the committee itself could be of assistance if need be. And the transgender policy, you know, I really shudder to think about what could happen if these people. I was thinking about correctional services, for instance, and I was thinking about, you know, lumping them. You lump one in a wrong kind of, maybe we should really fast track this one. It's so important that this policy be really. Stakeholders and regions. with the various units. My question would be, you actually enumerated the who you are actually engaging with, but I didn't hear you saying something or saying anything about the law enforcement agencies, like the police and others. I would really want to know if you haven't, I would really like to get it included. Impact that they could really bear into the kind of engagement. I think programs for the year or for the term, let me put it that way. I would really like to hear, as far as provinces are concerned, where are we going today, tomorrow.
Tertiary institutions will you be engaging, and what criteria has you used to identify them? And the other question, are you going to be with the higher education department in the consultative forum? And when you come back from those from the consultative forum, are you going to engage with the higher education for the community on the issues that have been raised? And the last one, have you planned any legal clinics in the hotspot areas? Because you know that these days there are service delivery protests in some of the parts of the country. Are you engaging with the people there on some of the issues with regards to service delivery? Thank you.
just to give it in top management, 22% women, top management in the companies that make their submission. Senior management, 33%. In professional services, then it starts to, and of course, that's a level where most women get stuck. Professional levels, 45%. But what left us even more confused is that with unskilled, women are 40%. Mm. So you don't know now where women are. And yet the narrative out there is that it is males who are unemployed. And yet 40% of unskilled people only are women. So I don't know whether they probably there is a factor they missed out on. It remains a question. So, and disability also is a challenge. They made it that companies are very reluctant. So it's something that is worth following. So we think that maybe an engagement with the Department of Labor to unpack this might also be helpful with the commission itself and then the Department of Labor. There's a campaign on equal pay, equal work, because they also found that even in terms of earnings, there is no equal pay, equal work in companies that were, the standard is not the same. So there are lots of issues that just need to be taken. The other albatross is the gender-based violence in South Africa. I think we can no longer hide ourselves and think we have a plan, which looks like it's getting worse. And indeed, we were invited by the Department of Women when they initiated this program. And their intentions, they said to us, their intention was to listen to what the real issues are and then be able to put proposals on the table on how to resolve or how to mitigate causes of gender-based violence. So what we said to them was that since we have oversight over what they do, we'll make our networks available, we'll have our people available, but we will advise where we can advise, but we still have to see what will come out of the report, because our responsibility is going to look at what they are saying and be able to pronounce whether it really does entrench gender-based violence. But in our report that we had done already on gender-based violence, the country was at a point where they had talked about gender-based violence council. And we thought we were on the right track, because then we were saying that is what we need. Everyone must come on board, civil society, everyone come on board. So I think that maybe if we should allow them to take that route, it may come to back to where we were 5 years ago, with a view to then seeing how to solve the problem of gender-based violence, because it is now really, really, every South African is worried about this one. Thank you. I think I'll allow Commissioner Mapazi.
Thank you. Next one. I think we take your advice on looking on the issue of the fourth revolution when we are looking on the issue of the strike plan coming 5 years. And I don't think we can stand in front when people are availing themselves to participate in our strategic planning session. I think we need more minds around the table when we want to plan. The revolution of the gender is for everyone to work together and ensure that we'll be able to achieve what we are fighting for all these years of a society which is free of any ills when it comes to issue of gender equality in our country. When it comes to issue of tertiary institutions, I think what we do usually, we invite them into the center. We don't go to provinces. We invite them to the center, then we have sessions because it's going to be costly for us as city if we can send the commissioners, because we have a plenary of commissioners that sit there. And we also invite our legal officers, they're also part of that, so we call them from provinces. And we also invite relevant structures, even the NGOs that are involved in the education sector, even the department, they also participate. So we call them centrally to Johannesburg, all those relevant departments, especially the universities that are under investigation. We first send some questions to them. They respond to questions so that when they present themselves, already we've got a clue of what is happening in this institution. They usually we request the director to lead the institution, the vice chancellor, to lead the delegation of the university as the accounting officer. Unless they decide to send, in some cases they send an administrator to us to come and account, which we will then we'll be able to deal with them accordingly when they do that. But so far, many of them that we've called to present, they've presented themselves. I think for us as commission for gender, preparing for next year, we look on our, because initially the baby of Commissioner Ngoku is the lead commissioner for that program of One Woman, One Head. We presented even to the Department of Rural Development, we presented to our Department of Women, and we have noticed that there are programs that are implemented by Department of Social Rural Development, which we think it emanates from that consent document, although they are not accepting that it emanates from it. But when you assess it, it really emanates from that department, but from that consent document we initiated the CGE. It's a matter of sometimes we want to not to acknowledge what in the academic they will say that it's a plagiarism, because we don't recognize the initial purpose source of for that. So I think it's one of the areas that we will identify, but I think there was a meeting initiated by the Department of Women from this present CSW that took place this year. There's a plan that we must work together in South Africa to prepare for the coming. I think many people, they're expressing disappointment of how we were there as different organizations from government, even from Chapter 9, from NGOs. We hope that that will be followed. There was a good promise to do so and to prepare for next year. And also we agreed that in preparation, we must focus on the SADC region. Also, instead of us reflecting, having panel of South Africans only, we must look and others, the SADC region, what are the exemplary things that we can go and showcase and discuss to, so that the other European and other central, other African countries, they could learn from what SADC region is doing. So we hope that that will be followed. I think on the issue of the CGE, it's like for it to perform, you need personnel. And therefore, that's why you have a budget, which is more on SOEs. Even with this budget of 71%, it does not fulfill what we think it could be, a structure that we need for the CGE to fulfill its responsibility. At the present moment, in a provincial level, we have the provincial coordinator, we've got one legal officer, we have an educator, we have an administrator, And in essence, it's very lean. Look for the province like Eastern Cape. We have one educator moving all the province, throughout the province, driving throughout the province for us to be able to do that. We were hoping that we could be better, in a better position, that we could get an assistance, especially for the educators. But it's clear that there's nothing that we can do in the limited budget that we get. They continue to use the present baseline. We don't know that informed treasury for the allocation of CGE for us to be able to improve the service delivered. But When it comes to vacancies of CG, especially when it comes to legal and education officers, we always prioritize them. But during the time that we advertise for the position, we always allow that we not the services to be terminated in a specific province. We take someone from a different province to provide, to assist that province. But immediately when we finalize the process, because the educators and legal officers are one, immediately when one resigns, there's no board, so we don't want to cut the, our APP for that province. Then we'll ask someone either from a different province and sometimes even from the national office to go and assist in that specific province where there's a vacancy, no relevant position. The only position that we remain, that we can't fill as a CTE, because of the challenges, like the, if you look on our human resource manager that we had, we've decided that instead of appointing somebody at that level, we reduce the level so that we could save more funding for the institution, but let the responsibilities that were done be spread throughout the officials that we have at the present moment. And we, instead of having as we have somebody who's going to specialize in specific areas that relates to human resource in the institution, as well as the what's the other position that we study also? COO also, we can't fill as CGE because of the funding. As a result, we're in the process of dealing, of remodeling our business model so that we can make some amendments of our conagram of the institution based on our funding as an institution. In the plenary session, when we have a plenary session, we have a day where we look on the performance of the institution. Generally, the CEO will present, CFO will present, we've got the chairperson of the audit that presents. And we have a day also that looks on the role and responsibility of commissioners. The commissioner present their province, where they are allocated, what work they've been doing there, and other work maybe they'll be doing in other different provinces where they're invited. And also we share different committees. So we present our report as commissioners of what has been happening in your committee that we've been observing, that we've been providing an oversight role as a commissioner. With every plenary, that's what has happened. So the plenary is a platform where as commissioners we account to other colleagues what has been happening related to your responsibility. I think those are the issues that I wanted to respond. I think CFO will go directly on the issue of the finances, on the increased amount. I think it needed the specific response on that one.
Okay. Let me give honorable second.
Thank you very much. I want to make a follow-up on the issue that you are raising, Commissioner, on the role of the commissioners in different provinces. Our oversights have shown that, or when you are doing your legal clinics, it seems as if most of the work is done by the officials down there, your legal officers and other stuff, say, the commissioner is just an overseer in that province. So I think the question that was asked by Honorable Terry that what specifically, what is it that you are doing in a province as a commissioner? Maybe just give a detailed information.
Maybe in my input, I could touch upon that. For example, I was going to really relate to engaging with service level issues as well as stakeholder issues and confirm that certainly at CGE we have a number of kind of partnerships. You know, for example, a lot of working with the Department of Justice when it comes to issues of access to justice, especially for the poor. There's a relationship between the Department of Justice and the Foundation for Human Rights. In a sense, they're kind of an extension, kind of an agency implementing constitutionalism, you know, on the ground. for the DOT. So they always, when they have the engagements, speaking of my capacity as a commissioner, both here in the Western Cape as a backup to Commissioner Mapas, because we have that arrangement where a commissioner has got full-time responsibility, my full-time responsibility is in the Northern Cape. So I've engaged there quite more intensively than I am in the Western Cape. But in both provinces, quite a close relationship between the DOJ and the Foundation for Human Rights, and also when it comes to issues on women, women on farms, and also farm workers and farm dwellers in general. They have this stable engagement, they make sure that CGE is also part of that. We then process even specific complaints that are brought by the people who attend those meetings. We have had a number of those, and it's even discussed financially. As well as the similar kind of cooperation, for example, around the 5th of this month, had an engagement with the public protector who is doing a provincial, yeah. So at CGE, we invited us to be there as well, to be part of that engagement as well. And hearing the people on the ground talking about the kind of challenges that they face in their day-to-day lives. Yeah. And so there is that cooperation. In fact, one specific one on quite a huge project between the Commission for Gender Equality, the Foundation for Human Rights, and an NGO called the Trust for Community Outreach. On a research project which is quite huge, looking at the issue of communities, and Chairperson would offer to come and brief the committee more fully, you know, on that, because it's about establishing these pieces of state land that have always been under the jurisdiction of municipalities but have not been used for the benefit of of poor people in particular. For a long time they have been, you know, an exclusive use by individuals on a racial basis. And the idea is now to conducting a sample research in three provinces, the Northern Cape, Western Cape and the Eastern Cape, because they were the old Cape colony. These communities go back to the 1800s. Northern Cape, Western Cape, and Eastern Cape. These are the old Cape of Good Hope.
Yes, okay.
And the idea is that once that research has been completed, it's going to be replicated throughout the country. It touches also on issues of living and working conditions of farm workers. And it has the potential of unleashing large tracts of land that will ultimately benefit women and poor people in general. So certainly, Chairperson, CGE, I mean as commissioners, I actually get involved in those complaints thing. And in fact, even facilitate venues, by reason of one's contact, for example, the school, for a clinic to be held, and then the officers would come, and the education officers, and so that it's kind of paving the way. So, and we also play the role of political networking, in touch in the Northern Cape, engage quite a lot with the provincial legislature on a whole range of issues. So that is the kind of role one plays. Opening up doors for the staff to be able to move and also very closely there also with the SALGA Women's Caucus, in their programs, and even training on issues like gender mainstreaming, and just showing them the ropes as to how as politicians in provincial government and in local government, they can monitor the implementation of the gender system and such a way. I hope that touches.
I think though, listening to the conversation, we probably need to just tighten up when we do our reporting so that when things come, because commission has also had thematic areas.
Yes.
For instance, on the issue of gender-based violence, the lead commissioner there is Commissioner Bob. So he's the one who is supposed to look at the trends and advise us. What we do now lies with the media on that particular subject. When we're going to have press releases, is that commissioner who will sign off the press release because they are on economic development and socio-economic issues. Commissioner Mapazi, on land, we never do anything without him. So they have different on disability, it would be somebody else, so that each commissioner has a niche area that they should drive. So maybe that doesn't come out in the reports, in the report, that in my area, this is what I have done.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll just try to run through some of the questions that have not been responded to. I think we note some of the issues that have been raised by Honorable Chair in terms of some of the input. Honorable Stender, when it comes to, I think Commissioner Mapazi has indicated to you in terms of COE, so I won't touch on that, and the issue on commissioners' activities, the acting chair has tried to highlight that. Case management, we do not have a system as yet. I think it's one of the things that we have been engaging on to see how do we raise funds to see what we can put in place. Department of Women, I think the acting chair touched on that, but what we also do is to ensure that we have our own legal officers attend that, so that if there are complaints that deal with specifically with our mandate, we also take that on. So they do inform us in terms of, like when we went to Mpumalanga in February, we were aware of the date, and then we then also ensure that we send our legal officer to also take specific complaints for us. But from where I'm standing, and I think it's important that, what Honorable Seke was saying in terms of trying to work together. I mean, there have been reports on gender-based violence and all that, and the deputy has said we probably all need to give them a chance to do what they're trying to do and see whether what will come out of that. We are certainly monitoring that as a commission, and we'll be able to also, you know, highlight what we think some of the problems, if any, right at the end, are looking into the fact that we already have been monitoring those processes, and we have all the GBV reports each year. That's what we've been doing. This year, Honorable Seke, we won't have anything specific in terms of monitoring gender-based violence. What we thought we could do is to go back to the report of the Special Rapporteur on Violence Against Women, and try and push and ensure that we take some of those recommendations and issues forward, and go back and check whether the country has done anything about those particular things. I think we have highlighted previously, the frustration that we have. We ended up having to go specific department by department now. We did social development, we did SAPS now in this financial year that has just ended, because we all know that as a country we don't have a coordinated program that really looks into these things. So that's what we'll be doing. And of course, we are also checking and seeing exactly what it is that Women's Ministry is doing with their dialogues, and we'll be watching out for those reports to see what needs to be done, and if anything, take some of those things forward. Vacancy in Mpumalanga, we do have a legal officer. I think we had those vacancies in the third quarter. At the point when we reported for the third quarter of last financial year, we already had quite a number actually of legal officers that were not there, Northern Cape and Mpumalanga and whatever. We have Mr. Leseza Gefo, who's working now in the Mpumalanga office. So as far as service delivery is concerned, we are covered when it comes to vacancies. The colleague, when we had an opening in Mpumalanga, the colleague in Limpopo was overseeing Mpumalanga, therefore he was helping, was holding me. But now we have filled that position. So Dennis is still now in Limpopo, but we have Lesepa Tefor, who is now appointed for the Mpumalanga office. There is a new fellow that is now there. I think we note some of the things that have been highlighted in terms of the LGBTI and how we must fast track, you know, some of those policy gaps that we have highlighted, and we really hope that we'll be able to have something by end of the second quarter. Our APP, I think we in terms of key persons from secretariat point of view, we will put that in. It's just that in our heads, because we know that this one is legal, this is research, this is whatever, and I've only seen that now we actually don't. We just attach in terms of strategic objectives mm-hmm. and specific activities, but we don't highlight that this is a legal department thing, this is a research department, and what have you, but we can easily, you know, create and clear that in terms of ensuring that there are specific people from secretariat or units that are in charge of that. I don't know, Ben, we had highlighted to say that for this financial year we will be calling Stellenbosch, UOS, and UJ for the transformation hearing. So those are the people that we will be engaging with. In that I've just been engaging on site with the head. They seem to still be pushing for mining. Mm-hmm. They're still pushing for mining, because I know that when we were having conversations when we started, we had thought we'll do mining, finish mining, and then go into banking. But their problem is we did not do, you know, a lot. As much as we have a hearing, I mean, we are now going to hold hearings for legal on the basis of information that also comes from their report, but they still want to continue with mining. So it looks like mining it is that they will be pushing for. Legal clinics, Honorable Bengu, we don't. What we normally do is we sit, we let provinces sit when they plan in terms of where to hold legal and outreach clinics. And what they then do is they filter first. You know, in their own provinces, they then check and gather information and utilize that information to then take a decision to say which areas we should then go for as far as doing legal clinics is concerned. So we do our own, it's our own sort of filter and checking to say what are the problems where, because it also helps us so that when we go into that particular area, we know specifically what the issues are, and we are able to then deal with those particular issues.
I didn't do anything.
Because we are only left with only 2 minutes.
Okay, so what exaggeration?
Okay, maybe I can give you. I see you want to ask. Maybe Charles must give you, because she's seems to have a question specifically on that.
Yeah. No. Well, she's talking because I want the CGE to transform even better. You know, the word radical, I'm not sure it's the correct word. I don't want to use radical. We are very superficial in our approach of dealing with a deeply rooted gender division. You know, my eyes were on this first, on the slide, SDG goal 5 says 5.1, end all forms of discrimination against all women.
Mm-hmm.
We're not unpacking that women are not homogeneous.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And these unequal women were in, like, white women were there,
mm-hmm.
Indian women were there, colored women were there. The African woman was down there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of everything, let's take, for instance, the way I appear. You know, I appear with no makeup, nothing, you know? I'm not appealing to the so-called this world, especially the private sector. If I go to an interview, I'm not the CEO of the company, you know? If I apply for a job, if I go in there because I don't have makeup, I'm not fitting into the Western culture of doing things. I cannot be the CEO of that company. So from there, you are discriminated through your appearance. Then women are forced to put on lighter, the skin lightening things. That's discrimination. So if you are darker, you are also discriminated against. You are a woman, you are an African woman. You qualify for this job, but because your appearance says you're not Western, you understand? Because you don't have long hair. Take the beauty pageant, which you're not challenging, even as the gender commission. They are half naked. They it's not about the even the questions that they ask them. We're not challenging those things. And why beauty pageants were made? Why did we have beauty pageants? It's because women were pushed to think that they are beautiful articles that they can be moved and be pushed around and be put whenever men feel like it. Why do we still have beauty pageants? How do they contribute into the economy of the country? How do they change the economic space? We left adverts when we were establishing the Gender Commission in the early 90s. We're fighting adverts that were putting up women as commodities. But today, you go on around Johannesburg, they are those adverts. We no longer change. On TV, those adverts are there. So I'm saying, that is why I want to be in your strat plan and say, in your strat plan you say, end all forms of discrimination. In education, are you doing that? Are you encouraging African kids to be African kids in terms of language, in terms of their appearance, that they understand that they have hair that is not as smooth? Now our children are putting wigs, even at primary level. What is that? No, I'm talking about oppression, because we're not addressing equality. What is equality when people are not treated equal as they are? I'm just saying, it's even worse. You go to, it says every girls, other girls want to be their fathers. They don't want to be girls anymore because men are promoted them, you know? Than girls. That is why you find a girl becomes a tomboy one way, and then you call that poor girl a tomboy, and then at the end, maybe she will decide, no, I no longer want to be a tomboy, and now I want to be transgender or what, or I become so-called natural. So all those things, can we discuss them and put them on our on our issues, so that when we talk about curriculum, you call the education department, you talk about the content of the curriculum. The issue of land. If we go to the issue of land, land is not about the reserves. I have said this before. The reserves that king, queens, our chiefs and queens stay in, that was not the land that we were in. The land that we were in was the arable land. And where is the arable land? Which is not under discussion at this point in time. I'm not sure in that report it touches that arable land.
If it does,
it's going to, that's the radical part we should go to.
It was always under white control.
Mm-hmm.
And they face it even under long-term leases. Mm-hmm. And this research is what they say.
Challenging those.
Even those leases,
we must.
They were entered into on a racial discrimination basis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for that reason alone, we can go to the Constitutional Court tomorrow and have them declared null and void.
Yeah, because the 1913 Act was not the act that took the land.
Mm-hmm.
It was the act that removed the tenants.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure. The real act was the land gray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Gray. Yeah. That
the commonage thing goes back to the
1800s. Yes.
Way before.
So it's not that, but we are saying that people must claim land after 1913. Why? Why don't people claim land from 1652? And that constitution is also limiting us. So I'm saying, members, let us open up. We will invite him, but I'm still saying, even in the SDGs, we're not unpacking the SDGs as they are. What exactly do we want to unpack? In which department and how do we do with that? How does it affect women? Okay, eating in here.
Honorable members, I think the CGES understand you, ma. But the problem is about time. Don't have time. Because members have to go for lunch and go to the EPC. I think the outstanding questions that we have, maybe you can just send it to the secretary so that they can be able to circulate it to the members. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you
very much, honorable members.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.